Today, the mark that you've made it for any stand-up comedian is getting your own Netflix special. From Ali Wong's Baby Cobra to Nanette, it can launch a comedian to stardom. But before Netflix, there was The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson or The Ed Sullivan Show before that. In fact, stand-up comedy goes back long before the format was even known as stand-up comedy. And in a new podcast, comedian Wayne Fetterman, you might know from Curb Your Enthusiasm or The Stand-Up Circuit, tells the story of the history of stand-up comedy from vaudeville to today. I spoke with him more about it and how there's always been some version of the Netflix special in stand-up comedy.
If we go back to vaudeville, there was a big theater in New York City, which was like the crown jewel of the vaudeville chain, and that was called the Palace. So if a comedian played the Palace, and this is before the term stand-up even existed, that was the stamp. And then later, when television came into popularity, they had something called the Ed Sullivan Show. And that was like a stamp of approval. If you did your act on the Ed Sullivan Show, your booking fees could go up, and then maybe you could become like a national headliner, like maybe Alan King did, or something like that. And this is continued. Of course, I'm sure you, or maybe you don't, know about The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, that he could make a star or at least bring attention to a person.
Yeah.
So when now Netflix is the latest. It used to be HBO special or Letterman for a while and Conan for a while. So it changes.
Mm-hmm.
But what doesn't change, in my opinion, is basically what comedians do. Certainly the styles change. Certainly the content of what we're allowed to talk about changes, that expands. But the basic idea of just standing there trying to get laughs has remained the same and since the days of the Palace.
So let's talk about some of the sort of breakthrough moments in stand-up history. Like, do you have a favorite, I guess, of when stand-up broke out into the mainstream or you saw somebody come onto the national stage in a way that really broke down some boundaries?
Well, there was a moment in December of 1973 that really caused a wave of young comedians to kind of flood Los Angeles and New York, and that is when 19-year-old Freddie Prinze went on The Tonight Show.
Thank you very much. I'm from New York, and it's a weird town because it's a melting pot. We have all kind of people, even Armenian midgets, you know? I come from two backgrounds, Hungarian and Puerto Rican. My dad, I'm a Hungarican. It's like a very heavy title because I could never figure out how my parents met, a gypsy and a Puerto Rican. I asked my mother. She said they were on the subway trying to pick each other's pocket.
Prince goes out there and does well, what we call killing in the industry.
Uh-huh.
He's destroying. He's doing great. And then usually what happens when you do a set on The Tonight Show, you get maybe an okay sign from Johnny or like, that guy was great. A lot of potential. But in this case, Carson pulls him over to the couch.
What?
Which was very rare, yeah, and sits down, and he starts talking to this comedian and literally gushing over this kid. But then it gets crazier, Lauren. Then they go to commercial break. They come back. They talk to him for an entire other segment. They go to commercial again. They bump the final act of the show, which was this writer named Irma Bomback, to talk to Freddie Prinze one more time.
Man, this is saucy.
You know, there's no greater thrill for me personally to have somebody come out here who's unknown and stand up in front of an audience and absolutely wipe them out the first appearance coast to coast. That's great. You're going to do fine, really. A lot of people have started on this show. And you can always sense when there's something there that the audience likes them right away.
And
I'm delighted to have you here. We'll take a drink. We're coming right back.
And here's the crazy thing about it. At that moment, Johnny Carson says, it's the biggest thrill, it's now my passion to discover and break young comedians. Now, as we know, Freddie Prinze, within a year, was a multimillionaire. He had a sitcom called Chico and the Man. So suddenly you're like, oh, this is how you do it.
Right. There you go. So what about some of the diversity moments in stand-up history? I'm thinking of like Richard Pryor, something like that. Where were those moments in comedy history and what kind of difference did they make?
Well, they made a big difference. Obviously, there was a now lost to the ages, and hopefully with this podcast and others, there was a comedian named Gene Carroll who preceded Phyllis Diller, who preceded Joan Rivers, who preceded Ellen DeGeneres, who was basically doing stand-up comedy in the 50s and did several episodes of The Ed Sullivan Show.
Bob, let me tell you something about this Jack. It's so funny the way I met him. You see, I was standing on a corner, as usual, and he walked by. Well, I dropped my handkerchief. He heard it and picked it up. And don't laugh, it was a very loud handkerchief. You know, purple, pink, blue, with yellow and green polka dots to match my car. So, anyhow, Jack asked me to go out, and I never went out with strangers, but he convinced me he was no stranger. He'd known himself for years. So we went out, and let me tell you something, he was a real sport. Money? Money meant nothing. Nothing. He didn't have any.
She was a real trailblazer to all these female comedians. Now, for African-American comedians, in the mid-century, there were sort of two circuits. There was the African-American circuit, what they call the Chitlin' circuit, and that's where Red Fox and Slappy White and Moms Mabley, they were all performing on then. And then in the more segregated, even in the North, was mainly white performers and white comedians. And you could be like a Sammy Davis Jr. You could sing and dance and then do some impressions in the middle of your act. But just to stand as this comedian, who I'm going to talk about in a second, named Dick Gregory, used to say, flat-footed on stage and just tell jokes. That really didn't happen until the early 60s, specifically in January of 1961 at the Playboy Club in Chicago. So Dick Gregory got booked there at this, you know, kind of this white club, and he was just great, and he got a big write-up, and there was an article in Time magazine, and the next thing you know, he's on the precursor of Johnny Carson's Tonight Show, a gentleman by the name of Jack Parr, and Jack Parr had him on a number of times. And that sort of opened the gates to what happened, which, you know, obviously Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy and Bill Cosby, I know he's now known for other things, but was a very much a breakthrough comic at his time as well.
Yeah. Okay, so fast forward to today. We talked about the magic of the Netflix special, maybe the equivalent of the Tonight Show today, right?
But yes.
But what about the ways in which you can become a famous comedian today? Like, the mechanisms have changed, right? Like, you see YouTube stars making it through, like Bo Burnham, right?
When you think about it, Lauren, Bo Burnham, in his bedroom in Massachusetts, I believe it was Hamilton, Massachusetts, in 2006, writes this funny song and puts it up on YouTube and becomes more famous than hundreds of comedians that had worked the clubs for decades.
Cause I'm Bo, yo, and I'm the greatest rapper ever, and I'll weather your weather, whether you think I'm clever or not. Think you're better, you're not. Don't need a sweater, I'm hot. You got two eyes, only got one shot.
And so this is like a brave new world, but the point I'm trying to make to you, and I hope it gets through, is that this was always the case. There's always new technologies that break comedians. So now we have the internet. Now we have, like, podcasting. Now we have, there's a famous comedian that got famous doing Twitter. So this is happening, but this has happened before, like, with early radio stars. That's how Jack Benny became famous. And then, obviously, records.
So much has changed, but so much has stayed the same.
Yes, Lauren, that's exactly what I'm trying to get through.
All right. Wayne Fetterman, the host of the new podcast, The History of Stand-Up. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome.